Hallelujah. That is exactly why the Apostle Paul declares, I bow my knees in prayer before the Father, from whom every family and all fatherhood in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that he may grant you, according to the immense riches of his glory, to be strengthened with divine power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being deeply rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to truly know the love of Christ, which surpasses all human knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the limitless fullness of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is my sincere belief that the Father truly desires to overflow your personal love reservoir once again in a powerful way tonight. Amen. We all have a personal love reservoir in our hearts, in our innermost being. And your Heavenly Father in heaven deeply desires for you to be completely filled up with all the fullness of God. That means he truly wants to fill you with this love, with the love that became visible in Christ. He wants to fill you with this love. He wants to shower you with this love. He wants to overwhelm you with this love. He simply wants to be in your life with this incredible love and with all the absolute fullness of God's presence. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, the world can't really fill you. Even other people, no matter how hard they try, can't truly fill your reservoir of love completely. But God the Father, in his infinite grace, he can fill it to overflowing. That's why you should let yourself be filled tonight. Just stretch out your hands and let yourself be filled right now with his boundless, eternal love. Let yourself be completely filled with his divine love. Let yourself be filled to overflowing with the Father's boundless and everlasting love. Hallelujah. 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 We see this infinite and boundless love when we look at the cross, because there at the cross, he proved his love completely, once and for all time. There at the cross is the greatest and highest ultimate expression of God's unfailing love for us. He himself gave himself up. He himself sacrificed himself. He himself allowed himself to be sacrificed and put to death so that this love could be shared with all of us. And now, through Jesus, it is fully present here today. And the Father wants to fill you. The Father wants to fill you with this love. Hallelujah. He wants to make you overflow with this love. Oh, come on. Just close your eyes and look at him. Just look at him right now. Look at his cross. Look at his love. Look at your Father. He wants to fill you up completely. He wants to let your heart overflow. He wants to make you much more than full. He wants to fill you with all the incredible fullness of God, with all the absolute fullness of God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Farmer. Oh, hallelujah, Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your infinite love, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your pure love, Lord. We thank you, gracious Lord, that you completely fill up our overflowing love tank. Thank you, Lord, that tonight you tell us again in a new one. Yeah, I am filling you. I am filling you. Where there was lack, now there's fullness. Hallelujah. Where there was once a barren dryness, now there's a beautiful, overflowing abundance. Where there was separation, at least in how it felt, now there is a profound new connection, a deep new bonding. He fills you anew with his love. He is simply filling you once again with his infinite love. Thank you, Father. You should just allow it to happen. The violin is playing. Just allow it. Hallelujah. Now, just allow him to fill you up completely. Oh, praise be! What a truly wonderful and glorious moment this is! Let us all shout hallelujah from the rooftops, because we are finally witnessing such a magnificent and long-awaited blessing today. Abundance. His beloved son and his beloved daughter. That is exactly who you are. If you had been the only person on this earth, he would have gone to the cross for you. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that this, the limitless dimension of your love overtakes us. He is filling us right now, completely replenishing our inner reserves. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, all over again. Hallelujah. No single area of your precious soul is lacking anymore. No area of your soul is left unfilled by the infinite, everlasting love of God. Not a single area. Hallelujah, oh Father. Oh, hallelujah, Father. Father's unconditional love completely wash over you from the deepest part of your inside out. From the inside out. Right now, I see a very strong and vivid image in the spirit. What I see is like a brilliant light, much like the sun shining into a very deep cave. And suddenly, just because the sun happens to be at the exact right angle, this cave goes pretty far down, but there is a small hole at the surface of the earth. And because the sun is at just the right angle, the sunlight manages to reach all the way down to the very bottom of the cave. And I believe this is a picture of how the Father's love wants to shine on, and is shining on, areas of your soul right now. Areas that maybe have never or only very rarely been touched by God's light. There it becomes bright and it becomes soft. And you do not ever have to feel the need to retreat back into the darkness of a cave, because the Father's love draws you out, because the Father's love is what truly brings you forth into the light. Because the Father's deep love protects you, and because the Father's love sets you in a beautiful, wide open space. Without fear, without walls, and without any defense mechanisms. Just let him, at this very moment, really shine the radiant light of his infinite love into the deepest, darkest depths of the hidden caves of your eternal soul. Hallelujah, Heavenly Father, we thank you, gracious Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Yes, shine on us. Fill us now with all the divine fullness of God. Bring our hearts and bring our souls to rest deeply in your eternal love, Lord God, and bring them to a state of complete and total satisfaction in your love, Heavenly Father. Oh, come with this great measure of satisfaction and with this absolute measure of certainty. I truly have everything I could ever need. I will not be in want. Hallelujah. Come with this absolute certainty, this deep sense of satisfaction, and this complete feeling of fullness. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us in now. Fill us with your infinite love. Hallelujah, dear Father. Thank you, Father, sir. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We lift your name on high. We offer you our highest praise and adoration. Yes, we give you all the glory and we praise you, Lord Jesus. I just want to thank you. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Open your heart and receive it. Tonight, the Lord, He has completely filled your emotional love tank to overflowing. Believe it. Take it. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. I have absolutely everything that I need. You are my faithful shepherd, the shepherd of my soul. I will lack nothing. You let me lie down in gentle green pastures, and you lead me beside the peaceful and still waters. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you, Father. And then you can find yourself a spot and just keep soaking in His love tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. As I mentioned earlier, tonight we are going to activate God's healing power to specifically activate the ministry of healing. We've already learned quite a bit about this over the past few weeks. But before I get into that, I really felt on my heart tonight that we should start with Astrid's session this evening. She was originally going to be second, but I have the impression she should go first because she will be speaking about humility. And that's a really important prerequisite for being able to receive from God. And then I'll do the second session. And then towards the end, we won't be under any time pressure, but we can just see what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Okay? So let's give Astrid a very warm welcome for the first session and really pay attention to what she has to say, because that's also important for being able to receive healing. Amen.
Dear ones, it's so wonderful to simply be able to receive and truly feel God's incredible love. And there's nothing more beautiful than knowing I am loved. My God is behind me. That makes you strong. It gives you strength for your everyday life. Yes, Pastor George already mentioned it. Today I'm going to talk about humility. And this is already the seventh part about humility. It's really amazing how much you can teach about humility. And before I get started, today is about humility and forgiveness. I just want to quickly recap what humility means and also touch on the last session where we talked about humility and faith. And Pastor George already mentioned it as well. Healing is also connected to humility because everything has been given to us as a gift. And we receive healing through faith. And we can have faith when we are humble. So what is humility? In Old German, humility comes from demoti, which means to serve, to courageously bow down, and to courageously serve. And you are a son and a daughter of God, and it's simply your lifestyle to be humble. The enemy has tried to misuse this word. But let me tell you, humility is fresh. Humility is life. It's alive. Yes, we stand before God as strong sons and daughters of God, and yet we are full of humility. We bow before our God. We serve Him. We serve our brothers and sisters and our fellow human beings. And humility is a lifestyle. It's simply our way of life. And let me tell you something else. Humility is part of the glorious freedom of the children of God. And do you know why that's part of the glorious freedom of the children of God? So you are a beloved child of God, and that truly belongs to your daily life. And humility sets you completely free because it means total freedom from rebellion, from defiance, from always having to go against things, and from always having to fight everything on your own. You know, honestly, that's so exhausting. It's just so incredibly tiring. And Jesus didn't die for us so that we would have a difficult and burdensome life where we're constantly fighting and struggling every single day. He died for us so that we could truly be free. And humility is simply part of that freedom. Let me tell you, before I was born again, I didn't like humility at all. But now that I have Jesus, I just love it because I've realized it's simply the best thing for me when I humble myself before my God, because everything else in your life flows from bowing before God. Isn't that just amazing? You know, through Jesus, just as we receive His love, then love flows out of you again toward your fellow human beings. It's all through Him. He continuously flows through you, and you faithfully pass along everything that you have received. And John chapter 8, verse 32 also clearly tells us the word, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And it also truly means you're not conceited, you're not arrogant, you're not stuck up, and you don't think you're better than anyone else. Instead, you're always the very first one, the first to be willing to forgive, to be willing to serve others, to be willing to be kind, to be merciful, and to be completely full of trust and faith in God and in His holy word. Yes, you believe God. And you have found your complete worth in your Lord and God, and you rest in Him, and it brings such a deep sense of peace. You no longer have to prove that you are somebody, because our Lord has already made you somebody. You are a son of God, a daughter of God. You have achieved everything you can achieve in your life. You are allowed to live out of your Lord. You are allowed to let go. You are allowed to flow with your Lord. And it's such a good, such a glorious, such a joy-bringing life. And in my last session, I discussed in detail how humility and faith are deeply interconnected with one another. They are a pair, too. It can't be any other way, because if I believe but am full of doubt, there's something there that rubs the wrong way. When I submit myself to God's word, when I am humble, then I also believe. And each of you is a believer. You are believers, and you are believing. And in Hebrews 11, without faith, however, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever draws near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. That doesn't mean that if you don't have faith for something at some point, that God doesn't love you anymore and He says, go stand in the corner, be ashamed. You know, He loves you. He loves you. He always loves us. That's so important. He always loves you. No matter how you feel, no matter what situation you're in, whether you feel strong or not so strong, He always loves you. But do you know what happens when we don't believe? The problem is that we end up tying God's hands. He's standing there, and His heart longs to help you, but your mind is full of plan A, plan B, plan C. What am I supposed to do? I can't even hear God. I have to think about so much. And God says, let go. Just believe. Just believe. You live by faith and not by sight. And that means we can let go, and then He can work. But you know, even if it's sometimes hard for us to let go, things always get better for us. That's the good thing. We have our Lord and God. We're not perfect, but we keep getting more excellent in our Lord. And we can let go more and more, humble ourselves more and more, and submit to the truth of our mighty God. And you know, it's true that the more we believe, the closer we actually grow together. Poor in our own strength, poor in ego, poor in our own plans, in thinking we know better, in focusing on what's impossible. And we become steadily richer and more abundant, richer in deep faith and unwavering trust and in confidence. Oh, that everything is possible for the one who believes. And, you know, we don't have a lot of options, but we still have a choice. People in the world who don't have Jesus, they don't have a choice. They can only see what's visible, and then they're tossed around by what they see. But we, as sons and daughters of God, we have a choice. There is the Spirit of God to whom we can submit, and the spirit of the prince of this world to whom we will never, ever, ever, ever submit again. So there are only these two things. And we belong to the Spirit of God. We belong to God, and we submit ourselves to the Spirit of God, and there is nothing else. Galatians 2:20 to 2:21. But it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. For the life I now live in the flesh, I live, now pay close attention, I live by the faith of the Son of God, by the very faith of the Son of God, who truly loved me and gave Himself up for me. I do not set aside the wonderful grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died for absolutely nothing. This means that you actually live every single day by the faith of the Son of God. You don't even have to struggle to try and muster up your very own human strength to believe. Instead, you can simply say, thank you, Lord, that I get to live in your faith and that all of your faith is always available to me. You know, our Heavenly Father has fully equipped you and made you able to believe because He has given you His very own divine ability to believe in all things. You no longer live. You have been crucified with Christ, raised with Him, and Christ lives in you, and you are allowed to live by faith and are therefore no longer dependent on what is visible. Why? Because you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and believe Him, believe His word. And now let me tell you something else. Do you know what His word is? His word is Jesus. And when you believe His word, you believe Jesus. And when you believe Jesus, you believe His word. So it's that simple. Exactly. And yes, it's simply this lifestyle of humility that we should cultivate in our lives, that we should nurture in our lives. And from time to time, also take a look at ourselves and ask, how am I doing with this? You know, sometimes you still find traces of pride or of thinking you know better or of trying to do things on your own. I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit who keeps convicting me again and again. And that's so good. You know, living with the Holy Spirit, where you also get corrected, or even by leaders who correct you, that's just a truly wonderful thing, because we're not offended by it at all. Instead, we're deeply grateful, because then things just fall away from us that no longer belong to us or to our beautiful new nature. Yeah. You know, that's why we're here, to be trained here as supernatural world changers. That's cool, because it means all the things that no longer belong in our lives are simply exposed. And then, through the mighty power of God's word, you know what happens? My favorite phrase, they get ripped out, root and all. So that we can become more and more like Jesus in this world. 1 John 4:17. For as he is, so are you in this world. Yeah, and now we're getting to the topic of humility and forgiveness. So what does the word say about forgiveness? Well, I've only picked out 3 Bible verses for now. There are, of course, countless Bible verses about forgiveness in the word. So, Colossians 3:13, bear with one another and forgive each other if anyone has a complaint against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Oh, wow. It goes on. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, be kind and deeply compassionate to one another, freely forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. And when Peter asks Jesus exactly how many times he should forgive his brother who has sinned against him, in other words, done him wrong, Jesus says to him in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 22, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you only up to 7 times, but instead up to 70 times 7. 70 times 7. Who can do the math? Exactly, 490 times a day.
Woohoo!
So just these 3 Bible verses alone are already a pretty high standard. And we see that we can't do this on our own strength. We can try to do it from our own soul. But I think after you've tried it 2 or 3 times with the same person, by the 4th time at the latest, the carefully constructed building of self-control comes crashing down. And then there's not much left of forgiveness, patience, kindness, or warmth. Because we simply can't do it on our own strength. Forgiveness is supernatural, and real, true forgiveness, not just pretending, but genuine forgiveness, is available to us as sons and daughters of God. And because we, the Word, proclaims the good news. And if these things are written there, then it must surely mean that it's possible for us. And it is indeed possible for us, because we have passed away from our old life. So it is possible for us in our new life to accept real and true forgiveness and at the same time to pass it on to others. If the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. Surely you have heard about him and were taught in him, just as the truth is found in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and instead to be made new in the attitude of your minds, in the very spirit of your mind, and have put on the newly created self, which is created in the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And do you know what the scripture says there? You have put off unforgiveness. It no longer belongs to you. You are no longer a slave to unforgiveness either, because unforgiveness destroys us. Unforgiveness is deadly. Unforgiveness brings bitterness. It makes you harder and more bitter. But that's not who you are anymore. Sag mal, I am no longer a slave to unrighteousness, to unforgiveness. Exactly. And forgiveness simply means I let go. I fully let go of the offense that was done to me and the injustice that was done to me. I let it all go. I also set the person free. I let go of the person who did this to me. And that's exactly why it's so very important that we become more and more aware of this through the living Word of God. Because it says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That you come to understand more and more deeply who Jesus is for you, what he did on the cross, that you come to know him, his love, the love of the Father, just like tonight, more and more deeply, that you reach out to know God the Father more deeply, to know Jesus more deeply. And you know what happens when you receive revelation, when you gain understanding? Your heart starts to melt. Then the heart becomes so incredibly soft because of the immense love, the divine grace, the pure goodness, and the total forgiveness that has been freely given to you, simply given, not earned at all, but given to you by grace. And the softer our heart becomes, the more open we are to everything. We allow our heart to be taken over by the love of Jesus. The more we can practice forgiveness, the more we can show genuine love, and the more we can take things in stride without having to react offensively, we can willingly step back and let others take the spotlight. You know, that's so good. That's freedom. And the more you come to understand exactly what has been graciously forgiven in your life, the more humble you become. And then, purely and simply, out of love for this Lord, you just want to willingly submit your whole heart to his word. You no longer want to be rebellious. Instead, you want to obey him. You want to be obedient, not because you have to or out of fear, but simply out of love for your Lord. Ephesians 1:7. His grace is so great that he graciously purchased our eternal freedom with the sacrificial and precious blood of his Son, so that all our sins have been completely forgiven. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14 clearly states that God bought our freedom at an incredibly high price with his own blood, and through his infinite grace forgave us all our guilt and shame. 1 John 2:2. And he is the sacrificial atonement for our transgressions, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. So even in these three Bible verses, you can see the grace of our Lord. He didn't just redeem us. In fact, redemption is available to every person. Every person in the world is redeemed. The only thing a person has to do is simply turn back, turn to God, to turn away from the old ways and invite God, Jesus, into their heart. And even in the old covenant, even there, you can already see God's love for people. Back then, when people sinned, they had to sacrifice a flawless animal, bring it to the priest, and he would slaughter it. And through this blood, the sins were then covered.
zugedeckt.
Read Leviticus sometime. That's really fascinating. There are whole passages about the different kinds of sacrifices that exist. So it's really fascinating. But even there, you can already see God's love for his fallen creation. But since the sins of the people were only simply covered, that is, they weren't completely washed away or permanently erased, just covered, the people had to continually offer up animal sacrifices year after year, time and time again. And again and again, blood had to be shed, and over, the sins were covered again and again. And it already shows God's love for his creation, even in the Old Covenant. And it's also a foreshadowing of Jesus, whose blood was shed for us. But God knew that human beings needed a deep inner transformation. All these external rituals and physical offerings with the blood, the covering of sins, were simply not sufficient or enough for people to have true fellowship with God. Sin still remained a barrier that separated people from God. And he fully understood and knew that people needed a profound change from within. They truly need a brand new nature. And this is where our wonderful Lord and God Jesus comes in. You know, even in this Bible passage, you can see the love, the willingness to forgive. Philippians 2, verses 6 and 7. Although he was God, he did not insist on his divine rights. He gave up everything. He took on the humble position of a servant and was born as a human being and recognized as such. You know, Jesus came to earth. It was because he was truly willing to forgive. It was because he was willing to endure the suffering of the cross. Because he was willing to bear every one of your sins and mine, the sins of the entire world, to endure immense suffering for all of us. And he who lived in glory came to earth. This dirty, sinful earth, he did not consider himself too good for it. You know, right there, you can already see this unimaginable mercy. All of this truly unimaginable grace and his incredible willingness to forgive. You know, at the cross, as Pastor Gerg has already said, we truly see pure love. Jesus took all our sins upon himself, including our illnesses, so that forgiveness could flow. Without his sacrifice, there still wouldn't be the possibility of forgiveness today. There would still be a sense of separation between humans and God. He sacrificed himself just for you. And humility and forgiveness went to the cross. Because without humility, Jesus couldn't have gone to the cross. Humility and forgiveness went to the cross. The power of humility and forgiveness brought Jesus back from the dead once again. God, the eternal Father, raised Jesus from the dead. And he also willingly humbled himself. He was far above all of creation, but he bowed down so that this great work of redemption could happen. That's just so powerful. But you know, Jesus was helpless. He was handed over to his tormentors, beaten, tortured, mocked. But he gave his life willingly. He allowed himself to be crucified and gave his life so that new life could come forth from his death and resurrection. so that the Father could have many summons, so that salvation could flow through forgiveness, so that people could have fellowship with God again. None of this would have been possible. Without the humility of God and His Son, none of this would have been possible without this forgiveness from God and His Son. Without grace, without mercy, none of this would have been possible. But the first thing was the will.
Demut. Demut.
Humility. What were we like before we made Jesus the Lord of our lives? We were also tossed back and forth by doubts, by fear, full of unforgiveness. We were angry. We were furious. We held on to unforgiveness. And what was our goal when someone hurt us? We wanted to take revenge. We wanted to strike back. We wanted to hurt with words. And that's just human nature. That's the sinful nature. And that's exactly how I was. Maybe you too, before we made Jesus the Lord of our lives. Luke 23, verses 33 to 34. Finally, they came to a place called the Skull. There, all three were crucified, Jesus in the middle and the two criminals to his right and left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive these people, for they don't know what they're doing. And the soldiers cast lots for his clothes. You know, in that situation, he says, Father, forgive these people, they don't know what they're doing. And maybe you sometimes feel the same way, like you're being crucified, like you're being laughed at, mocked, ridiculed. Maybe there's also a wound in your life that's so deep. But you can say, Father, forgive this person. I bless this person. I forgive this person. I am choosing to forgive this person. Because forgiveness is a conscious decision. It is not just a simple feeling, but a decision we make, so to speak, with full awareness. In the power of God, we choose to forgive these people, to love them, and to bless them. And, you know, that's not always easy for us. Sometimes we just don't want to. Sometimes it feels like it's choking us. Maybe you'd rather fight back with words. But let me tell you, those are just little remnants of our old nature. When we truly humble ourselves under the Word of God, that we should forgive one another, that we should be kind and compassionate to each other, that we should bear with one another and not hold any grudges, then those old remnants, they really don't stand a chance. And you become freer and freer and even more free because you humble yourself under the Word of God and under His eternal truth. And I have another great passage, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than everything that we could ever ask or imagine, according to his power that is actively working within us. So it is the power of God. You just go to our Lord, and if you ever find it really hard, then you simply say, Lord, I thank you that you are helping me now. I forgive. I forgive. And I thank you that you have made me able to forgive. And you'll see, I'm telling you, it works. But you know what else is so cool? When we decide to forgive, the daily petty battles also come to an end. Right. He read that to me. She looked at me so weirdly. I feel left out. I just feel overlooked here. Yes. Now I'm really offended. That really annoys me. You know, that's this daily little war in your thoughts, and sometimes it just hits you out of nowhere. But when you simply live in this supernatural realm of forgiveness, you decide, no, this doesn't bother me. No. I'm not being overloved. After all, I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. And he said that to me. Oh, you know what? I'll just forgive him now. Why should I get all worked up about it? I'm a daughter of God. I'm a son of God. I live in the presence of God. And there, forgiveness flows. And I forgive now. I am simply humble. I am happy to forgive. I love to forgive. I am just as Jesus is in this world. What do you think? How long do those thoughts stand a chance? Not much longer. They're just gone. And you don't hold grudges either. You know, Jesus also carried this daily little war, so to speak, for you on the cross. You know, holding a grudge, that means if you're holding a grudge, it means you're carrying something. So that means you have a backpack on and it always follows you on your back. And it weighs you down. But we don't need that anymore because we let forgiveness flow. Just like our Lord let forgiveness flow. So we don't need this backpack anymore and just take it off because we don't hold anything against anyone. Isn't that simple? And now, something really important about forgiveness. Matthew 36:39. My master, which is the most important commandment in the law? And Jesus answered, you shall love the Lord your God. God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and most important commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. And we just heard that if we love our neighbor, which God has made us capable of, because Jesus' love flows through us, we can also love ourselves. Because the thing is, if we don't love ourselves and condemn ourselves for things that have happened in our lives, maybe haven't forgiven ourselves for something that happened 20 years ago, and see ourselves as the biggest failure, and as a result, we become envious again of others because they always seem to have it so much better and have accomplished everything, except me, right? Do you know what happens then? God has already forgiven you for everything. But you might say to me, I simply cannot forgive myself. I failed. I did stupid things. No, I just can't forgive myself for that. And you know what you do then? We're often not even aware of it. It's pride. And that doesn't belong to us anymore either. And B, by doing that, you put yourself above God. Because if God says, I've forgiven you for everything, who are you? Or who am I to say, I can't forgive myself? We can't put ourselves above our Lord. Our Lord is above the Lord, the King of Kings. And we bow under his word. And if it says in Colossians 1:14, God bought our freedom at a high price with his blood and forgave us all our guilt, do you believe that? Then I believe it. Or one, John 1:9. But if we confess our sins, God proves himself to be faithful and just. He forgives us our sins and cleanses us from all the wrongdoing we have committed. Honestly, it couldn't be said any clearer than that. You know, don't be your own worst enemy. God has forgiven you. Forgiven everything. You've been washed clean. And when we sin again, then we go back to God, ask him for forgiveness. And then we move forward again. But don't do that. Don't allow yourself to torment yourself. Because by doing that, you're just opening the door wide for the enemy. And then he says, ha, there's something to do here again. All spirits of condemnation, please go to Mr. X, to Mrs. Y. And then all those spirits show up. And we don't need them in our lives because condemnation no longer belongs to you. In Romans 8:1, the word tells us, so now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But you know, that's the freedom, the glory of the children of God. So to wrap everything up in summary, God has truly made you fully able to forgive. And I would just say, let's take a deep breath and close our eyes for a moment now. And let's just briefly, if there's any unforgiveness at all in your life or something you just haven't been able to forgive yourself for yet, yourself or something that happened today or in the past few days at work, or if you know you're about to meet someone and when you see them, something stirs up inside you, then let's lay all of that down tonight. And no longer belongs death. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that in every place and situation where things haven't been completely forgiven yet, or those matters want to rise up and resurface within our hearts once again, I just thank you that your forgiveness is flowing now. Thank you that your love is flowing. Thank you, Lord. Divine forgiveness is flowing like a gentle river. Deep forgiveness is flowing through every part of your soul. Restorative healing is flowing into your heart right now. And eternal forgiveness is flowing endlessly to bring you complete peace. Stop chasing after the things that are wrong for you anymore. And learn to finally let go of everything that does not belong to you. For ultimately, forgiveness is the only thing that truly matters in this life. And you possess the incredible strength within your heart to forgive. Please know that I love you deeply. Everything is going to be okay now. And I have completely and fully forgiven you for everything. And just as I have freely and fully forgiven you, you also have the power to forgive others in your life. Forgiveness is flowing like a gentle river through your heart. Forgiveness is flowing into every corner of your soul. Healing is flowing to mend what was broken. And healing is flowing to bring you a deep and lasting peace that surpasses all understanding. Divine forgiveness is present in this moment. Restorative healing is flowing through your body and soul. And every deep wound is beginning to close and mend completely. Every deep wound is beginning to close and mend completely. All the lingering hurt and pain are finally departing from your heart, and every injury is leaving your spirit. Total healing is here right now. Complete restoration is here right now. Total healing is here right now, and complete restoration is here right now. Forgiveness and complete total forgiveness
is here.
All right. I'll see you then. Freedom. Freedom is coming. Freedom is coming. Freedom is coming. Freedom. Freedom. Freedom is coming. The old is passed away. Behold, something new has come. You are new, 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 washed clean, completely new, completely new. Freedom.
Freiheit, 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 Freiheit.
Freedom, freedom, freedom is finally here at last.
Hurrah, 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 hurrah.
Away.
Amen.